keep your Bibles open, because I do like preaching from the Bible. There was a beloved brother who employed a number of people. And in that business, there had to be a lot of cashiers and different people that handled money. And I asked him, I said, how do you deal with, there's a lot of different terms with it. When Murphy was in retail, he called it shrinkage. But the real word is stealing. He says, here's what I discovered. Some people will not steal no matter what. You can put the money in front of them, and they absolutely will not take what doesn't belong to them. Matter of fact, they'll take the money and bring it to you and say this money was laying in the floor. He said, now there's some other people, they will steal. They just looking for the opportunity. And he said, there's a third crowd, they really don't want to steal, but if you give them a chance, they will. And so one of the things we do in orientation, listen to what he said. In orientation, we show the people all the ways people can steal. We didn't start this business yesterday. They're all around the world. And we know just about every way a person can steal if they want to. And I said, well, why do you tell them that? He said, because I need them to know that I know. And since I know and I've told you how to do it or how people do it, you'll know that I'm watching and I know the strategies. And prayerfully, because you know I know, you won't do it. The preachers, we've been in a minister's institute. I thought it was going to last 4 weeks, but we just having such a good time that we just, it's just going on and on. And one of the things we've been enjoying is sermon preparation. And so we always look at a text, and in the text is the answer. And so you've got to figure out what the question is. And if you know what the question is, then the text will give you the answer. I read just a portion of verse number 8. The text says, will a man rob God? And so my sermon then needs to be how people rob God. And so I want to walk through and explain how people rob God. Here's one of the first ways people rob. People rob God by not planning to give. They don't plan to give. They don't think it's something they ought to do or should do or have to do. They never plan to give. Anything of any significance, people plan it. You put it on the calendar. You don't even walk up in the beauty shop expecting them to immediately take you in. Because when you need to get your stuff straight, you make a call and set an appointment because it's something important and you plan it. Wish I had time, I'd pass the mic around. Because some of y'all have some standard dates because it's something you plan to do. Even when we get our oil change, in case we forget, how about y'all? Do they put the little sticker right up there? And they have a date or a mileage? Because the intent is to remind you this is something you ought to plan to do. Now, I know some real adventurous, got it going on kind of people, and she does her own. But it's something that's intentional. It's something that is important. It's something that you put on the calendar. Parties, birthday parties, you do it because you plan to do it. Anniversary celebrations, you do it because we plan to do. Anything of significance, you put on the calendar. Matter of fact, God gave us a great example. At the appointed time, he planned to send his son. He told us in Genesis that he was going to send his son. He just didn't tell us when. And when Jesus came, he planned to enter into ministry to do and be about the Father's business. Remember the conversation when his mom and daddy saw him 3 days later and he was in the temple? And Mary, I'm sure she was working her neck and had her hand on the hip and said, why you worry us so? And he said, didn't you know that I must have been about my Father's business? Jesus didn't accidentally end up at the temple. He planned to go there. Matter of fact, he kept telling his disciples, we going to Jerusalem one day, and I'm going to give my life over to them, and they're going to crucify me. He planned to do that. But then, wait a minute, you got to keep on reading, because then what did he say? On the third day, I'm going to get up again. He planned to do that. He planned to die on the cross. He planned to get up from the grave, and he went back to be with the Father. And guess what else is on the calendar? He's coming back. Only question is, we don't know what day, but I'm just trying to get y'all to understand that anything of significance, you just don't accidentally do it. And some people don't do it because they never plan to do it. And the Word of God teaches us to keep that in your plan. Here's what's so funny. Here's what's so funny. We want God to keep us on his calendar. We want God to remember us. Anything significant, he puts on the calendar. God didn't forget to wake you up this morning. God didn't forget to have angels watching over you all night long, because God keeps you on the calendar. He keeps us on his mind because he planned to do it. He planned to do it. He plans to do it. He plans to do it. The question is, God keeps us on his calendar, but how well do we keep him? He's a mighty good God, ain't he? Oh, he's worthy to be praised, ain't he? Because in spite of the fact sometimes we neglect him, he never neglects us. Sometimes people rob God because they just don't plan. They never plan to give. Here's another one. Sometimes people rob God because they got a poor theology. They got a poor theology. Their understanding, their belief about God. Got a poor theology. People ignore the fact that we've been fearfully and wonderfully made. People ignore the fact that he bought us. He redeemed us through the very giving of his own son and made us his own. We forget all about the fact we were bought with a price so that we're not our own. Poor theology. We think that because our name is on it, we own it. But the reality is everything we have, including us ourselves, we belong to God. We belong to God. But we're living in a world that is constantly trying to erode the real understanding of who God is and what he requires. There are people with a poor theology. Matter of fact, let me show you in the text. In this chapter, in Malachi chapter 3, people have this idea that they can argue and debate with God. Malachi ain't nothing but four chapters. And all through the chapter, the people are arguing, questioning, and debating God. Matter of fact, in chapter 1, verse 2, you know what God says? I have loved you. And you know what they turn around and say? How have you loved us? He said, I loved y'all. And their response was, how? And then here's God having to explain how he loved them. He said, did not choose Jacob? Now, you know Esau was the oldest, and so by rights, he was the one that should have received the blessing and the whole heritage should have come through him. But Esau didn't want it. He had the blessing, but didn't want it. But Jacob, with his tricking self, he did at least want it. And in spite of the fact that he was a trickster, God still chose him to give all of us hope that sometimes God will pick you even when you don't deserve it. And so here God is on the witness stand trying to prove his love. In the same chapter, 6th verse, God says, where's my respect? And you know what they came back and says? How have we shown you contempt? How have we dissed you? And here's what they were doing. They were supposed to bring some offerings. And so as they were looking, in those days, they didn't have necessarily a currency that fit everything. And so they would go to the pen, and they'd look for the sheep, and they see the one with the crooked leg. It's okay, let's give God that one. They'd go to the grain bin, and they'd see a bushel where it was mold and mildew, and they'd say, okay, let's give God that one. God said, you wouldn't give that to your governor. But yet you bring me less than the best. Chapter 3, verse 6, God says, return to me. And here they come back and say, we ain't going nowhere. We ain't never left you. 8th verse, same chapter 3. Will a man rob God? How we rob thee? Chapter 3, verse 13. Listen to this. Chapter 3, verse 13. God said, you spoke arrogantly against me. And they came back and said, what did we say? 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 See, their issue, part of their issue was that there was some wicked people that looked like they were doing better than they were. So their argument was, God, we've been serving you, yet the wicked folk seems to be getting along better than we are. And you ain't doing nothing about it. Then there was another case where they said, God, where's your justice? Because you saw what they did to me, and you ain't done nothing about it. You letting them get away with murder. Watch the essence of what they're really saying. God, if you don't bless me like you bless everybody else, if you don't make this thing right and do get even with my enemy, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Be careful. Because they said, God, you letting them, you saw what they did, and you letting them get away with it. Let me help you up in here. In this world is ran by the prince of the powers of the, This Satan is running this thing. And it's not going to get any better. Matter of fact, the truth is, if it wasn't for the people of God yielding to the power of the Holy Ghost, it'd be even worse. But one day, he is coming back. Have I got a witness here? I know there's injustice, but you ain't gonna turn everything around. Some stuff is only going to happen once God comes back and he reigns in that millennial. He already told us, man that is born of a woman is but a few days and is full of trouble in this life. And so they argue with God. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. They're arguing, they're debating. They're debating with God. That's a bad theology to try to debate with the one who gives you breath. Can I go old school? Can I go old school? Old school, anybody over 50, smile with your own teeth. Long before there was a dental plan, because there were things back in our day called a backhand. These young children don't know nothing about that. They don't know that about it. Called a backhand. And you hope she wasn't wearing a ring. I remember one time, my mama, you know, she didn't necessarily plan it. It was just part of her nervous reaction. Because she'd do it so quick, it was like a rattlesnake that struck and you got popped before you even, you got popped before you even know you got popped. They didn't listen to no arguing or debating or questioning. You just hope they wasn't wearing a ring. One time she had a ring on and it kind of did something to somebody in their lip. And she said, well, you shouldn't have been doing it anyway. Next time you're going to run your mouth, check to make sure she ain't wearing a ring. We ain't gonna get no members today. We ain't gonna get no members today. Well, what is God up to? Well, here it is. It's simple. I just told you that everything of significant, you plan it. Well, tithing is God's plan to prosper us. It's part of his plan. It's the plan. This is how I'm going to prosper my people. We're going to be in a relationship where I'm going to give them the word and I'm going to explain to them that I own everything. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make them stewards or managers over some of my stuff. And so here's what God does. God gives us capacity and opportunity to work. 6 days shall thy work. He gives capacity, the ability, and opportunity to work. And in that work, we serve each other. I'm reading this book. I love this book. It's called Thou Shalt Prosper. It's written by a Jewish gentleman, a rabbi, who shares some of the biblical principles of how the Jews relate to each other and the benefit of and the understanding of how they relate in community. because they understand that we were created to serve each other. And the joy of having a whole bunch of people is that we get the chance to serve each other and to literally, actually make things better. Before there was a whole community, the man had to grow the wheat, cut the wheat, turn the wheat into flour, and make his own bread. But then along came somebody who loved baking. And so now all the farmer had to do was grow the wheat. And then he'd sell the wheat to the mill. The mill would make the flour. The baker would come to the mill, buy the flour, and then bake the bread. And now the sister girl, she ain't got to worry about going to the field. She just goes to the bakery because we serve each other. And it's made life easier because all of us have capacity and opportunity to do something, and we share from those resources. It's God's plan. And so as you get paid, here's what's going to happen. Watch the plan. God plans to prosper you. God plans for you to earn a living. And so he gives to you first. And then the promise is, after I give it to you, you take a portion of what I give to you and then bring it back to me. It's a part of God's plan. It ain't cause God's broke. Ain't cause God's trying to, he's trying to pay a light bill. God ain't never had no light bill. It's his plan. Yeah, he's the light. It's his plan to prosper his people. People rob God because they don't plan to give. They rob God because of a poor theology. And people rob God because they don't make giving a priority. Which really goes back to the theology. Because some people have a theology, well, if I got anything left over. Ain't that interesting? Could you imagine God saying, I know you need some strength, some healing, but let me see. Let me hold on. Just wait. If I have any left over, I'll. I'm tired. I've been holding the whole world in my hand. Shoot. What if God took a nap? Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. What if God went on vacation saying, ain't doing no work for this week. Ain't doing no work this week. I'm going on vacation. If anybody deserves a vacation, don't. I heard you. God, not this week, because I got to go see the doctor. Not this week. God, don't take a nap. Not this week. I got some exams this week, and I'm going to need you. God, not this week. Not this week. Not this week. I'm going, I've got an interview this week, God. Not this week. Please don't go this week. See, listen to what he says. I think it's the 10th verse. He says, bring it all. Bring it all. Can I show you something? He says, bring the whole tithe. King James Version, storehouse. That there might be food in my house. Listen, look at the image. He said, bring it to my house, that there might be meat in my house. Okay. Let's look at the image. Look at the image. God gives the image of, I got a house. And the house he ain't talking about heaven. He's talking about the house of God where the people of God dwell. God's got a house. He said, I got a house. I'm gonna say it like that because you got a house. And in my house, I'm always excited. Matter of fact, I keep telling my children to come to my house. Matter of fact, I got some other scriptures in there. Remember that one scripture that says, refuse ye not the assembling of yourselves together? He says, I wrote that because I want my children to come to my house. And I want my children to bring some people that don't know nothing about me. I want them all to come to my house. Now, there's some people looking at me right now. You know, we are just 3 weeks away from a big grocery bill. Now, some of y'all done got real smart. There will come a day where if you're smart enough, you'll fix it so on that day, you'll go to their house. But the truth is, some of them don't have capacity. And so for a whole lot of us, we're in the season where everybody comes to our house, and we want them to. We want them to. And so for some of us, we've been doing some stuff now in anticipation of when the children come. I got a person, I dare not tell on him, but he's got a freezer and he's got a section that you can't see. And there's turkeys down there, hams down there. On the top, you see curly fries and that kind of stuff. But down underneath, he's been stocking up because the people are getting ready to come to the house. Now you prepare when folk come to your house. God is saying, I need y'all to do this on a regular basis because I'm expecting some people to come to my house, and the God we serve is hospitable and gracious. The children, of course he's going to bless the children, but he'll even bless the stranger. Anybody who shows up, matter of fact, God will bless the stranger just because they came with the child. And they'll smile and welcome him because he delights in expanding the family. There's always another seat because the Father, he celebrates and he prepares for a big crowd. He plans it. Let me do it like this and I'll wrap this thing up. You need to know that God, some people, they rob God because they don't make it a priority. Listen, I know it sounds reasonable. Pastor, I'll do it after I pay off the visa, after I get rid of this, after I get a raise. No, that's the wrong theology. Because God, here's why you shouldn't do that. The God we serve is a math nerd. I will. There are all kind of nerds. I'm married to a Bible nerd. We have car nerds, tool nerds. We've got science nerds, geology, rock nerds. We've got puzzle nerds. Everybody's nerdy about something. Cake nerds, frying chicken nerds, pizza nerds. The God we serve, he's a math nerd. And in the Bible, there's a whole lot of symbols that you need to be familiar with, because tithing helps God determine what symbol he's going to use with you. Preach, boy. Let me prove it. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be. When you put him first, the stuff you've been worrying about, struggling with, he will add those as well. Ain't it nice when God uses the plus sign in your life? But there's a plus sign, but there's also a minus sign. Haggai 1:6 tells the story. It says, you eat but can't get full. You drink but your thirst can't get quenched. You put stuff in the bag, but it's got a hole in it. Because God can use the minus sign. Genesis 9, this is a sign he used. I think he uses this sign more than any other sign. In Genesis 9:1, he tells Noah and them, be fruitful and same book, Genesis 16:10, to Jacob he says, I will multiply your seed. But then there's another symbol, it's called infinity. I couldn't find it on the media, but infinity looks like an 8 sideways, and it's about 4 of them stacked on top of each other. It means on and on. It means you can't. Here's what it really means. It means there's not enough zeros on your calculator to give you the accurate number. Because then he started using things like, he says, I will bless you, your seed will be like the sand on the seashore or the stars. Anybody remember when you were kids and you tried to count the stars? Somebody over here said, well, I wasn't a kid. I just did that last week. I just, because she's an astronomy nerd. Meaning that God can bless you in such a way that you can't even put a number to it. And how God uses plus signs, multiplication, minus. Matter of fact, let me do it like this. Sometimes, because I heard somebody back here, well, what if he takes some stuff away? Well, God also divides. I told you he's a math nerd. But even when he divides, he can do it on your behalf. Okay, let me prove my point. Judges, in the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 2. Gideon's getting ready to go to war. And there's 32,000. And God says, that's too many. Because if I let you go down there with that many people, y'all will say you did it. So God put them through a test and then eliminated 22,000. And then God said, then God said, that's still too many. And then God subtracted from that 9. Here's what he ended up with. Because I don't think that's right. But here's what they ended up with. They ended up with 300 men. They went from 32,000 to 300. Wait a minute. 32,000 to 300. 32,000 to 300. And then God said, now we got enough. God gave them the victory with 300 men so that they would know it was nobody. So even when God divides, sometimes he divides, sometimes it looks like a setback, but it could be a setup so that you can have a breakthrough. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Who? What is, who? Because there's just one door to get into the family. Jesus says, I'm the door. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. He's only got one door in the house, but he's got a whole lot of windows. Watch what he said. Bring it all and see if I won't open the windows. Okay, I'm going to do it like this. I promise. I got to quit. We got to do communion. Billy, get ready. Here we go. After offering. My nephew struggled with a class. And so God gave him another plan. He told me his plan. I said, man, that sounds like a great plan. And the other morning, I was getting ready to leave. Looked across the street, and one of my beloved members, he's a manager out at Toyota. He had his hood up on his new Toyota car. And me and Trudy about to leave, and she says, it looks like he may need a jump. And I said, yeah, I said to myself, yeah, I already saw that. I'm just starting the truck, getting ready to get the frost off. I'm going to check him out. When he came back out, because he had a jumper box. And I said, oh, he's new school, he's smart. He put the jumper box on and he was still shaking his head, nothing was happening. And I hollered over, I said, hey, you need a jump? He said, yeah. I said, be right there. He came on over because as I was getting my windshield ready, and he said, you know, I got this jumper box, but I never charged it. He said, so they can't, it can't give nothing because it ain't never received. Another illustration, another day. Went on over. I said, hey, I got some jumper cables. I got some, and we put the cables on, and he fired the car up, and so was putting the cables back, and we were talking. I said, hey, my nephew just applied, and he just applied to Toyota, and he said, well, he should be a part of the engineering program, AMT. I said, no, well, you know, I said, he struggles. he's having a problem with mascots. He said, no, the way we do it, we make it simple. And we put somebody with you. And matter of fact, I'm the one recruiting people for the program. He said, now we got all the people for this for next semester, but we're interviewing for first of the year. We're interviewing now. He said, here's what I'll do. He said, what's his name? Okay, as I gave him. He said, I'll take his name to the person who picks it. I've already picked five, but I'm gonna take his name. And I looked at him and I said, you mean to tell me that God would not let your new Toyota start and the both of us come out of the house at the same time so that I could give you a jump so that you could hear my story about my nephew and take his name? The God I serve. Sometimes it looks like a setback, but it could be you just trust him. You try him. You walk with him and see if he won't work it. Won't he work it? Won't he? Won't he? Won't it? Won't he work it? No, he will. I know he will. And he'll work it all for your good. Put an amen right there if you can. All right. I'm done. Come on, Junior.